buying a house these days is just ridiculously expensive. And on Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Massachusetts, it's particularly bad. Many mainlanders fled to the island during the pandemic, and a lot of them ended up staying beyond the typical summer season. As Wilder Fleming of WBUR reports, it's all contributing to a dire housing crisis there.
Affordable housing on Martha's Vineyard was already hard to come by, and the pandemic just made it worse.
The housing crisis that we face and we continue to face, which is now escalated because of COVID and the increasing property values, has made it at critical mass.
That's Cheryl Andrews-Maltese, chairwoman of the Wampanoag tribe, whose ancestral lands lie in the town of Aquinna. Aquinna's year-round population grew by more than 40% over the past decade, and the island's five other towns have also experienced double-digit growth. According to the 2020 census, the vineyard's year-round population now exceeds 20,000. When the pandemic hit, hundreds of families who usually just summered on the island stayed for the winter. The median home price passed $1 million for the first time, and rentals for locals dried up. Andrews-Maltese says some people have been sleeping in their cars, camping in friends' backyards, wherever they can find a place to spend the night.
There's no year-round housing, absolutely. Only a couple of towns have maybe one unit, and it's weekly rental or for the month. So our tribal members are being forced to move off the island, and not just our tribal members, families that have lived on the island all their life, and some for generations.
You know, we try and make light of it and say we want to move away. We don't like it here anymore. Is that why we don't feel so bad about having to leave?
Nuava K. Knight has lived on the island her entire life. She says she and her husband, a painting contractor, have been thinking about moving somewhere more affordable for years. The recent surge in new residents and housing prices finally convinced them it was time to go.
You know, before maybe we could still dream of being able to afford a teardown at $400,000, but now a teardown is $900,000.
The Knights and their toddler have been living rent-free on the summer estate of a Manhattan family in exchange for managing the property. Knight admits they lucked into a good situation, but depending on the goodwill of her employer is not a long-term housing solution.
This system kind of feels like a gilded cage these days, so we can't really, you know, make enough to do anything but work.
Now, the Knights have put money down on a house in western Massachusetts, where the cost of living is much lower. Knight will be the last of her five siblings to leave the island. And even long-term residents with stable housing are feeling the effects of the crunch.
When the median home price goes over $1 million, things change permanently. And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking. And it is the end of an era.
Laura Silber of West Tisbury has lived on the island since 1991.
We had this really thriving, vibrant arts community. Young people would come here, and you really could live here very reasonably. It was just wonderful.
Silber and others say teachers, healthcare workers, and other professionals regularly turn down job offers on the island because they just can't find a place to live. Plumbers, auto mechanics, even veterinarians are also scarce, and many essential services are delayed for months.
There will be no police officers and nurses and teachers and everyone, your gas station workers. How do you do that? How do you do that without housing people?
Ariel Faria is an administrator at the Edgartown Affordable Housing Committee. She and Silber are members of a coalition pushing to create a Martha's Vineyard housing bank. They're working with groups across the state to try to fund affordable housing through an additional tax on high-end real estate transactions. In the meantime, the island's six towns are trying to work together to solve the housing crisis. Jeff Crystal is a select board member in the town of Tisbury.
I think we have a lot of people who are very dedicated to the cause of finding a solution, and not just the housing bank. I think we have our affordable housing committees that are doing it. I think we have planning boards that are meeting and discussing it regularly. We have selectmen who continue to push the agenda forward in all towns.
Crystal says he supports the coalition to start a Martha's Vineyard housing bank, along with relaxing some zoning rules that would allow for more building density. Laura Silber says the rest of the state should take notice of what's happening on the vineyard and in neighboring Nantucket, where home prices have also skyrocketed.
The islands are like the canary in the coal mine. I would advise other towns in Massachusetts, like, please don't wait till your median home price gets to $1.3 million, because you have so many fewer options once it gets here.
Silber says she has high hopes for statewide legislation that would enable cities and towns around Massachusetts to start housing banks of their own. But even if that moves forward, communities probably wouldn't see dividends for several years. For Here and Now, I'm Wilder Fleming.
And now an update on a story we brought you earlier this week. Historian Taya Miles has won the National Book Award for Nonfiction.
Yeah, and wouldn't you know it, Taya and I had a rich conversation earlier this week about her book that won. It's called All That She Carried, The Journey of Ashley Sack, a Black Family Keepsake. It's a story centered on a cotton sack handed down at the slavery auction block in around 1850. The bag goes through three generations of women, weaving together their lives, their love, their loss. Judges called it a brilliant original work. And you can hear our full interview at hereandnow.org.